Welcome back to the Steven Universe podcast. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I am here in the writer's room of Steven Universe at Cartoon Network Studios in Burbank, California. A lot of work goes into the creation of a single episode of Steven Universe, and today we're going to meet the storyboard artists and directors who bring each episode to life. They do everything from the initial storyboard drawings to writing dialogue to revisions before the boards go to the animation team. They have a lot of responsibility, and so today we're going to meet them, discover how they came to Steven Universe, what it's like working with each other, the background artists, the creator Rebecca Sugar, and other directors on the series. And here are some of their favorite Steven Universe moments. So coming up, we'll talk to storyboard revisionist Maya Peterson and Amish Kumar, storyboard supervisor Hilary Florido, and supervising directors Joe Johnston and Kat Morris. And starting us off, I'm sitting here with storyboard artists Jeff Liu and Lamar Abrams. First off, thank you guys so much for being here on the show. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys do?
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure.
I do storyboards and writing. I guess that's the same job. And a little bit of voice acting on Steven Universe.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm also a storyboard artist. And I also write music sometimes.
Awesome. So what's you guys' like artistic background before you started working on Steven? Where'd you come from before that?
Well, before I was a storyboard artist, my first job was as an animator. I animated at a company called Jib Jab doing e-cards.
I love those e-cards. Oh my gosh, I remember that. Was that like the dancing elves too?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, iconic, unforgettable.
Yeah, I animated a lot of bodies like dancing around,
yes.
Just without heads. So you could take a photo of your own face and put it onto my dancing animated body.
I did that so many times with so many people. I feel like I know you in a whole new light now. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun job, really fun job.
Yeah. So that was your first animation job?
Yeah.
Did you go to like art school?
Oh, yeah. I went to art school at CalArts
for
character animation.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You have a mug right there. He has a mug that says CalArts, so I guess I probably should have assumed. Yeah. That's awesome. What about you?
My background was in comics.
Cool.
I had made comics for a few years before working on a Steven Universe. So I used to work on a comic series called Remake, and I was self-publishing for a while before being picked up by Ad House Books in around maybe like 2009, and I had a collection of books that was like a graphic novel, and then I did two more follow-up books, Remake Special and Remake Extra. The E in the Extra was a 3 because it was the third book in the series.
Nice.
I think that came out around maybe like 2012, 2013, and that was like right before I got called to work with Rebecca doing Steven Universe.
So did she like know your comic? She's like a big comics person, right?
We actually met at a comics convention, a small press expo in Bethesda, Maryland, where we're from on the East Coast.
Oh, gotcha.
So we met back in, I think it was my first SPX in 2007.
Cool.
And I was walking around the convention. I remember seeing Pug Davis, her old comic. And we traded comics, just like, oh, I like your work, just like kind of friendly traded comics.
Right.
And she told me that she had like followed my work like for years. And when she started on Steven, she was like, oh, you know, we love your work, so we'd love to have you on the show with us. And I was just like, okay.
That's so cool. What?
Yeah.
So you guys came from comics and animation. This was like approaching it from totally different angles, it feels like. Like, do you feel like that affected the way you guys approached the storyboarding when you guys did that?
Yeah, definitely. When I was younger, or when I was at school, I had this idea that I would be an animator, like not necessarily a storyboard artist.
Yeah, so some people are confused between storyboard artists, right? Let me make sure I got this straight. Storyboard artists, you draw the like the keyframes, right? Or not the keyframes, but you draw the boards that then an animator will go in and draw the keyframes and then draw the in-betweens and make it into a like a finished animation, right?
Right. I think the bare bones requirements for a storyboard is just to draw the moments that tell the story.
Gotcha.
So any important like emotional moment or action needs to be drawn, and then between those drawings, that gets filled in by the overseas studio who does the full animation afterwards.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, but as an animator, going into storyboarding, I have a lot of experience with doing the in-between part.
Mm-hmm.
So on Steven Universe, I ended up doing a lot of just poses to make the motion look just more full and like interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it like when you started doing storyboards, was it like, this is way easier, I don't have to draw the in-between? Is it like that?
Yes, but also way harder because I had to think about story and
right.
Character and writing and story structure and acting and all this stuff that I wasn't really used to doing as much when I was just making stuff move around.
Right. With Jib Jab, there's not really character arcs, you know?
Yeah. It's different.
They just dance. You know, I love it, though. Okay, what about you?
I think for me, it's like the opposite direction because I had experience with storytelling and character arcs and writing in my own work. So that part wasn't too hard to approach, but the amount of drawing, I think, was like very new to me, even though it's just like basically layout and key like poses. I had a hard time figuring out like how much should I have or how little should I have? Like, do I need to draw out a whole walk cycle or
right.
do I just need to do like two poses of a start pose and an end pose? And that was something I learned about, I guess, over like my first year on the show, just picking up stuff from other people I work with, like Jeff, who's like knows about animation. I'm like, well, how do I do this or how do I show that? And we would like, I talked to like different people in the crew about like what I need to show. And our directors too were good about like filling me in on like things that I would do in comics that I shouldn't do in animation.
Mm-hmm.
I used to cut in characters like really close and kind of cut off the tops of their heads
right.
and the bottoms of their chins. Cause it was in comics, that's like really dramatic, but in animation, like you want to see the whole character or
right.
the whole head in certain shots. So I had to learn like what was necessary for like television and what I could do, what I could bring from comics and like kind of mix in with that.
Right. Yeah. And there's sort of a learning curve too. Cause Cartoon Network's like a board-driven studio, right? So that's very different from a lot of other places that do, because you have to write all the dialogue. I think people a lot of times don't realize that you guys have to write all the dialogue for the characters in addition to drawing, and that sort of, it goes hand in hand, but I feel like it'd be more difficult, right? You know, like that's like, especially if you're coming from an art background, it's like, they didn't prepare me for this in school, you know? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, it's challenging. But it's also really fun. It's a really awesome amount of creative freedom that you get, being able to both draw and express through the characters with the visuals and also to try to give them your own personal voice.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for me, it was really challenging at first writing because I hadn't really done much of it before. I kind of just had to learn from each episode, like over maybe a few years before I felt comfortable. But it was really cool working with all the other board artists, like Lamar, who I think you were more comfortable writing. And I got to like see his boards and be like, wow, like Lamar's so good at just like making these characters feel alive and fun. It's like,
because he comes from comics. Yeah.
Lots of inspiration everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, we all kind of inspire each other in that way. Just my lack of knowledge in animation, I was just looking at everyone's boards and seeing how much they were doing. And I was like, holy cow, you can do this much? Like, you can really like take it somewhere else and make it really expressive and fun. I think a lot of my drawings when I started were very stiff because I was just used to like, you know, focusing on one kind of pose just because that's how like comics works.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, working with everyone, I've kind of absorbed a lot of knowledge over the years and it's really helped. Like, we've all benefited from just working here and working with each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's it like? Because you guys have worked with, how many different partners have you guys worked with over the time that you've been here? Because I remember you told me that like you guys worked together for the first time on what episode was it?
Off Colors.
Yeah. And that was like you guys have worked on the show forever, so like it was it's pretty crazy that was the first time you'd ever worked together. Like, what's it like working with the different partners and stuff like that? What's that? How does it change when you work with different people?
I don't know. I think we all tend to balance each other out in some way.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think each person brings something different to the table, and a board can feel completely different by just, like, switching people up. I've had over 6, 7.
That's awesome. So you have to be really flexible, I guess, right? Is it harder to do the solo boards, though, when you have to sort of carry the whole thing?
Yeah. It was a fun challenge, though, because like I was still new to storyboarding, and it wasn't something that was planned. It just kind of happened. Like, you know, my partner had gotten sick and was like, well, we'll try to find your partner as soon as possible, but maybe you could try to do it solo. And I was like, up for the challenge.
Yeah,
I'm gonna prove myself doing the solo board.
That's awesome.
And the board I did solo was Onion Trade and Beach Party.
Mm-hmm. Classics.
And they were really fun to do, but I was so worn out after. I didn't even like realize how worn out I was until I got a partner and realized like I was doing half the amount of work again. I was just like,
dang. So when you, so do you have to do it in the same amount of time that you would normally do a board? Like, cause you know, schedule waits for no one, you know?
We used to have less time. We used to only do boards in 4 weeks.
Did you do those solo boards in 4 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
And now we have 5 weeks.
Gotcha.
I was just here all the time.
You're crazy. You're insane.
I don't do that anymore though.
Yeah, no, don't do that to yourself, man. What's your one thing I like to see is that like you guys all have your different styles and stuff. So like what's it like having that freedom to just sort of draw in your own style and interpret the characters differently?
It's fun. I think it's remarkable how differently we can all draw and it still works. Like the story still works. The characters are still themselves, but yeah, it doesn't really matter as long as you like you make the characters feel real. And it's fun. It's fun to feel like you can just kind of be yourself and express the way you express.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, the character sort of stands on its own. So even if they are drawn differently, they're still that character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's like one of the strengths of the show too, you know, like that the characters are strong enough to stand that way, you know, that's really cool.
I always kind of felt like we were all chosen because our styles were kind of close to the show already,
mm-hmm.
or close to an idea of what it could look like.
Right.
And even within the first year of the show, we were creating a lot of character, I don't know, like quirks or things that we would reuse like later on. So I feel like as far as like drawings, like the drawings were already there. We were already close to that. But like the feeling of the characters was a lot of what the boarders brought to, like their ideas of what the character might say or handle a situation, like that's what like we brought in our own like style, I guess.
So more than just the drawing style, but you added stuff to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. What kind of stuff do you have any examples of what you've done like that? Can you think of anything just off the top of your head?
Like so much. Like
it's like kind of everything, just like the way that the characters like stand or like the way that they like hold themselves or the way that they make facial expressions. It's like unique from person to person.
Right.
Yeah. Like a lot of character acting and even like certain lines. I feel like there are, I can't think of anything right now, but there are some lines.
You have Steven say y'all a lot.
I love that.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a thing I say. So it just feels like natural when I'm writing and I just write
too.
Y'all. Yeah, stuff like that. And it's like
that
little
too.
Things.
It's a rare thing out here, you know, on the West Coast to find the people that say y'all. It's like, I know you're from the homeland. That's awesome.
The homeland of the East Coast.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, it's different, you know, it's very different. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm from the East Coast and I just sort of came out here just for the summer. It's like, what is this place, you know? Mm-hmm. It's wild. So you said that you guys have different, you don't just do boards, you do songs and you do you did voice acting for the character. It was the character in the zoo, right? Was that the one?
That was one of them. J10 Y6.
Yes.
I get them mixed up.
Yeah,
but
me too.
It was one of the Zoomins, but the main character that I usually voice is Buck Dewey, the mayor's son.
Yeah, I didn't know you did that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So like what's it like when you to have like a different role? Are you guys in the booth when they do the records? If you did the boards, are you in the booth or do you just sort of wait for it to come back?
Sometimes.
It depends. Yeah.
If we're free to come by.
Not when you have to do an entire board by yourself in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But when you got more flexibility.
I feel like early on we went to the booth a lot.
Yeah.
Like just to like see what was going on, and Rebecca would kind of ask for our input on like how something was read or if we had something different in mind.
Right.
And again, that was a part of the like figuring out the characters phase.
Yeah.
So we don't really go down like as much as we used to, but occasionally, or if there's like a special like guest or something, like that we might right. want to meet or something, we'll like go down and like say hi, or like Rebecca will tell us like, oh, so-and-so's here, come say hi. And
right,
like,
right.
go and chit chat, which is nice.
Yeah. That's usually, awesome. Usually if there's a song, Rebecca will ask for me to come by just to give
gotcha.
Notes on the musical aspect of it.
Right.
Just, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So like, what's it, so you guys have those different roles. What do you think, does it inform the way you storyboard it all? The seeing the other side of things? Do you think that's changed the way that you approach the boards?
For me, it's, they're pretty separate.
Right.
Even if I have an episode with Buck in it, I kind of forget that I'm going to
yeah.
voice him later. So I'll just like make up lines, and then sometimes I'll be pitching it and slip into his voice. And it's like, I don't know, kind of weird, but I never really think about how I'm going to act as I'm drawing it. I'm kind of just like, I need to draw this. I got to draw this. I got to meet my deadline.
It's like a different part of your brain, right? So yeah. that's cool. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
I feel like when I'm working, I'm just thinking about this fictional reality where right. like we're just trying to make it feel like the story, it makes sense, and it's like an emotional experience that we want, and I'm not really even thinking about my hand as I'm drawing, or like what sort of technical like recording equipment is going to be needed eventually, or like how it's going to be like directing the actors. It's just like, I just know that if we put in our creative ideas into this like stew of just ideas, it's gonna come out.
Ideas
eventually.
Stew.
Yeah,
it's gonna awesome. Be delicious.
Yeah,
I can't wait. That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. So, what's you guys? You board the different characters. It's like people have compared animating to acting a lot too. You know, even though, like you said, it's a different part of your brain, but also like just the fact that you're drawing the way these characters look and the way that they're expressing themselves, and so they all have their different traits. Like you said, like. I really like how Pearl does her hands sometimes, you know? She's always, like, holding up like so, and yeah. very expressive like that. So, like, if you had to choose a character, who's your favorite to board? Huh. It's tough.
That's a hard question.
Yeah,
I really like boarding Ruby, especially because there's so many different ways. Like, I mean, this is spoilers, I guess, but for Hit the Diamond, I don't know. Is that okay?
Hit the Diamond, was that, like...
Yeah, I mean,
is that the baseball?
Yeah,
baseball?
Or just, like... Yeah, that there's multiple Rubies. And like
different... That's not a spoiler. Okay, no, okay. We're all good there.
I mean, this podcast might be for people who have never even
seen any... Oh, yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah, like, there's the Ruby that we know,
mm-hmm.
and she's really fun just to, like, draw her. Like, she's so, like, intense and expressive. But then, like, to have that template of what we think of a Ruby and then do, like, five different versions of that...
Right.
...is... It's really interesting and like a fun creative challenge.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. People love the Ruby gang. They all have their own thing, but they all still maintain the Ruby-ness.
Ruby-ness, yeah.
It's like, it's such a look, honestly. What an iconic look. The hair, you know? I love it.
Yeah.
What about you?
I've been thinking about Lars a lot recently.
Oh, yeah?
He's fun to board because he's so different from Steven and the usual... interactions he has with the gems, which are usually very like kind of like loving and caring and understanding, and then you know Steven gets with Lars and he is kind of like Steven is this kind of annoying person to Lars, but they're still friends, so
right.
whenever I think about like drawing that interaction, it's just very different from all the other interactions Steven has with like other characters. So Lars is pretty interesting to board and write for.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, and I think that it's cool how the characters have grown a lot too. Like Lars went through a bunch of development recently where it's sort of come full circle, all the stuff that you guys put into him. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So now that we know what storyboard artists do for Steven Universe, let's find out what the storyboard revision process is like. I've got storyboard revisionists Maya Peterson and Amish Kumar coming up next.
What's up, Doc?
What's up is that Boomerang is the best place for kids and parents to watch their favorite cartoons.
Zoinks!
And Boomerang is the only place for Scooby-Doo.
Anybody have a Scooby snack?
Looney Tunes.
Duck season. Wabbit season.
And so much more.
How about that?
Well, that don't beat all.
Just go to Boomerang.com or download the app to start your free trial now.
All right, guys, I'm here with Amish Kumar and Maya Peterson, and they are storyboard revisionists on Steven Universe. Hey, guys, thank you so much for coming in today and talking to me.
Thank you, Mackenzie.
Yeah,
really excited.
So you guys just, like, tell me a little bit about basically, like, what your job entails for people who don't know what storyboard revisionist means. And, like, well, how is it separate from a storyboard artist?
I feel like you have a really good spiel.
Okay, I'll just go off the top of my head. So, board artists, they have, like, different weeks, and the last week of boarding, they have, like, a cleanup phase.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what all of revisions is
gotcha.
After the board is turned in, the director will note it up and, like, do little thumbnail drawings, and if there's, like, an arm that's too short, they'll tell us to lengthen
that's
it.
That's a very specific example.
Yeah, that's one of the notes we get. I'm making it sound really easy, but typically it's just, like, a lot of cleanup because storyboarding is just, like, a really demanding job.
Right.
And a lot of things end up staying in thumbnail stage. Well, I mean, it depends. I guess it depends. I don't want to, like...
I mean, there's a certain...
Yeah.
I mean,
more ambitious episodes tend to have a lot of thumbnails in them.
Then you got to, like, go in and
yeah,
clean
really
them
flesh
up.
Out
like,
those
yeah,
drawings.
So it's not just like stick figure. I got mm-hmm. you. It's, that would be my storyboards if I was boarding.
I mean, I guess like the way that you. Sorry, I was hoping that you would say this, but it was kind of like director's assistant,
right?
When
yeah.
you think about it, it's a more technical position. It differs from the storyboard position in that it is not a narrative like or so much a creative position, but one where you're just like actually going in and clarifying the drawings for
Korea.
Clarity and mm-hmm. for Korea, for Korea
yes,
especially,
yes.
Yeah.
But continuity and. I would say we do a lot in terms of, I guess if we just, like, list off some of the kinds of revisions that we do, it will be, like, do a rough mock-up of a background or something that hasn't been, you know, so that the designers have, the BG layout artists have something to work with, something a little bit more tangible to work
gotcha. With. Gotcha. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I kind of wondered because, like, it seems like it'd be so difficult because I didn't realize the backgrounds all come after the storyboards are all done, so it's like, mm-hmm. what are they supposed yeah. to, how do they know what to do? I don't know how that makes sense. Like, I get what you're saying.
We have amazing background artists
the,
on
yeah.
the show. Yeah.
They're so good.
You know, I love it's just that. How they take, like, our chicken scratch and are able to, like, transform it into
really
these beautiful environments.
That's
like,
awesome. So, what kind of stuff did you guys do before you started working on Steven Universe? What's your artistic background or just your general background?
For me, I went to school a lot. So
a lot.
Yeah, I went to a couple of different schools. I graduated from Cal State Fullerton mm-hmm. in animation, but I also studied at the Animation Union. They have, like, classes over there.
Oh, gotcha.
And
where's that?
Animation Union.
The Animation Union's in Burbank.
Gotcha.
It's like sort of... It's the union you
Wait,
have to be in.
Is it affiliated with the guild? Or?
Yeah, it's the guild.
Oh, okay.
The guild has, like their own school that they offer, like, relatively, like, cheap classes.
Gotcha.
You know, to teach you, like, life drawing and all these different things. And that's really where I got my foundations in drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also took classes at the Concept Design Academy, which is, like, another, like, place. That's where I kind of learned how to board a lot better. But, yeah, I was in community college for a while. Like, I've just
so
been in school for yeah, a long, long time.
Nightmare.
Well, I needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't taken like any. I don't have really any artistic background aside from, you know, I've drawn since I was a little kid. Everyone in my family drew.
Gotcha.
But I mean, I took some courses post college in like learning Adobe Creative Suite. But honestly, that was a more kind of technical education
right,
than
rather than.
Yeah, rather than, like, you know, something that would prepare me for storyboarding. So this is honestly a very, it's a very fish out of water
right,
scenario.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love the show. I took the storyboard test and here I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. But
that's like a dream come true.
It really is. It's a little surreal.
Like, yeah, I imagine. That's awesome. So, like, you come from an artist family, right? Is that what you
mm-hmm.
said? So, like, there's a lot of people I know who go into art and, like, if their parents are like, oh, okay, well, you know, you're gonna be an artist when you
yeah,
grow up.
I know what
okay.
you're gonna say. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, you'd make more money waiting tables. Okay,
yeah.
But that actually did not make it a more encouraging environment. It's funny how that worked. My mother has a her master's in fine arts, and that actually made it more intimidating because she had higher standards. And she would tell me my stuff was garbage, right?
Oh, no,
believe me. No, I think it was tough love. I think it was, she was afraid, you know? Like I think there was a lot of
macaroni art, and you're like,
this doesn't deserve the fridge.
No, I mean, no. She's been very supportive and very encouraging since, within the last several years. And I honestly think it's just, you know, parents, you know, they're really afraid for you, and they want you to, you know, go down a path that is, you know, more well-trodden and safe and reliable. And mm-hmm. art is just, you know, like, especially, you know, for their generation, they think, you know, it's like artist selling your wares on the street, as opposed right. to like, you know, now there's a better system for
like
it.
I go in an office and like,
exactly. Like, this is a legitimate, like, I'm going into an office and doing my 8-9 hours. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it makes sense. Yeah. I love that. So you talked about some of the types of revision work you've had to do. So without like spoilers, obviously, what's kind of like the hardest revision you've had to do, if you can think of one?
Oh, yes.
Do you have
one? I mean, I just recently finished up a section uh-huh. with just like a huge, I mean, I can't talk about the details of it as that, you know, kind of veers into spoiler territory, but it's just like a huge group scene with tons of gems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is some copy and paste that I could have like, you know, done, but, you know, just you want to make sure every corner looks right, and that everything lines up panel to panel, and it's a lot of work.
right.
Although I think the hardest revisions, like generally speaking, are the ones not when we have to kind of draw it from scratch. Like it's like here, yeah. you have a very rough thumbnail. Now just kind of like draw it as you please. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. it's more like here are some components. Now try to like stitch them together.
You right. know? Yeah, like, I remember mm-hmm. you showed me something about like some characters that like. There was one panel where they were inside a door, and then the next panel they were all outside the door, and you had to like figure yeah. out how do they all fit through the door, you know? Like, mm-hmm. so you had to like figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that was a tough one, but yeah. luckily we cheated that one a little bit to make
okay,
it a little easier.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But I can give like a recipe for like a really tough revision.
Sure.
So like first off, group shot. That's like, so you have a lot of characters to draw. It's gonna be wide angle, so you see their whole bodies. Sometimes you have to rotate the camera, and oh. so if it's a different angle, so you have to like change the angle, but then if there's multiple panels, you have to also keep all the actions intact. And like Maya uh-huh. was saying earlier, if you she's like covering her face in pain. Uh-huh. If you have to keep certain aspects or assets to it, it like locks you down, so you don't have total freedom. So
gotcha.
It can make your job really difficult if sometimes things don't always work in a different angle or perspective, so you can redo like the same really complicated scene a bunch of times,
right?
Until it, like you, yeah, you figure out how it works. Because mm-hmm. I think it's from the same episode she's talking about. I'm pretty sure the one that I have in mind.
A lot of suffering. mm-hmm. I believe.
Oh, it's gonna. I'm so excited for how it's actually going to like look in the end.
So you're talking about the, you know, sort of the progression. What's it like seeing your finished animation for the first time based on stuff you did? Like, what is it like? Is it cool? Like, I feel like it'd be cool, right?
It is. It's like, I think I'm just so self-critical now. I'm like Maya's mom, where I'm just... I'm just kidding.
No, I love my mom. Mom, I love you.
Shout out to Maya's mom. When things work, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. It, like, it came out awesome. But then the things I tend to focus on a little bit are when I'm like, oh, I could have done a better job on that. And then I'm like, oh, it's out of my hands now. Because I'm really a perfectionist kind of. I think Maya mm-hmm. is the same way.
I sort of have to work with
people. I think that's a good characteristic. I mean, yeah. it kind of, you know, lends itself to the revisionist position.
Right, because you got to, yeah, I hear you. So you don't have to, your job is like, right up against the deadlines then, right? Because you said you do the last week of the boarding schedule. Is it like a real always a time crunch for you?
We're not exactly
on the same schedule as the boarders. We're just yeah. saying that, I mean, once they've gotten to the cleanup stage, you know, that's their schedule. That's separate, mm-hmm. you know, from our operation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So once they like turn in the boards, it goes through what's called the breakdown, and the directors will like pretty much note up the finished storyboard from the storyboard artists, and they'll pull out the things that they think need to change, or, you know, like backgrounds that need to be made. And then after they do that, then they bring the boards to us and they give us like all the things that we have to do. And our schedule tends to be like, I think the goal
ideally
is,
a week after the breakdown.
Yeah. Well, like you finish it because we start right after the breakdown. Mm-hmm. And then you get the episode done in like a week, hopefully.
That's what I'm, ideally wrapped up.
Seems like it would be a little rough, I feel like.
Realistically, I mean, but you know, budget.
Yeah, can't.
If it's a more like intense episode, like if I think like a finale type episode, it's going to be tough to meet that. But if it's just like them hanging out in Beach City, then it's a little easier.
Right. Yeah. My last question is, how do you think you guys have grown artistically since you started working? And where do you guys see, what do you guys want to be down the line? You know, like learning from working as a revisionist, working on a crew that's, you know, had more experience. What do you guys think?
I want to move on to boards eventually, but as a revisionist, you're seeing all the work from the board artists and you're learning like just so much from each of them. It's a lot like you get to do studies all day long of like trying to mimicking other people's mm-hmm. styles.
Right.
Because like our show isn't an on-model show, as like a lot of people know, I feel like, but I still have friends that come up to me and be like, oh, you draw a model. What we try to do is we try to match the board artist style whenever we can. And so that just, I don't know, it's just cool. You get to draw like different people. Like,
yeah, our drawings, you'll never find a drawing in our boards, or very rarely a drawing that isn't kind of like derivative. You know, it's not completely Amish or not completely Maya. It's always going to be like based on Joe or Kat's drawing of Miki's or Lamar's, you know, like, and you know, it's sort of this amalgam of multiple artists and we just, and then the animators have their hands in it.
Right. It's a very collab. Everyone has like their hands in it somehow. Like I feel like maybe like four people go through it by the time it's like finished and done. Because like the board artist to the director's roughs to us to the animator, and we do multiple passes on it, and I'm sure like the board artists do as well. So
a lot of people see.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
One drawing could have like so many different artists involved. Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, guys, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much again to Maya Peterson and Amish Kumar for telling us about how the storyboard revision process works. And next up, we're going to be talking to storyboard supervisor Hillary Florido and supervising directors Joe Johnston and Kat Morris and find out what their roles are on Steven Universe. We're also going to see what advice they have for aspiring young artists and animators out there. All right, guys, I am here with Kat Morris and Hillary Florido and Joe Johnston, who are, Hillary, you're a storyboard supervisor on the show, correct?
Yes, very recently.
Okay, cool. Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks.
And and then Kat and Joe, you guys are supervising directors too, right?
Yep.
Both of you guys?
Uh-huh. Not as recently.
Okay, cool. So what are your, titles? What are the jobs entail for each of those titles?
Oh, boy. Hillary, why don't you start since it's much more condensed?
Nice. So after the boarders are finished storyboarding and turn it in, I go through them with the help of my fine revisionists and clean up stuff that they didn't hit, make any corrections that need to be made, add any additional things that happen post them turning it in, if there's changes in dialogue.
Gotcha.
And that's all in preparation for Korea to animate. The clearer the boards are, the better they can do.
Right,
then
they can figure out. Yeah. So, like, if you, like, assign to Amish and Maya, do you, like, tell them, like, okay, you do this part, you do this part, you do...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go through in notes, and then I do some, too. More team.
Got you. Beautiful. What about you guys, Kat and Joe?
We just do everything that Rebecca does.
Okay.
So first we blue sky ideas for upcoming episodes.
What's then that mean?
It means we just sit around and we talk about what we'd like to see.
Oh, blue sky, like just dreaming and
just like
laying in the grass, looking at clouds.
Gotcha.
That looks like an episode.
There was like one or two times that we actually went out and did that, but mostly it's just in the office. The sky's not very blue in here.
It's mostly Rebecca comes in and says, "Hey, I saw this cloud today. And it looked like this. We should do an episode about this."
Yeah, more or less. Then we're in with the writers and Rebecca for the premises and the outlines. Then we go to all the storyboard pitches.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do storyboard supervising on top of that, but Hillary stepped up.
Gotcha.
And now she's doing that
I'm
for
on
us.
It.
So we still oversee that a little bit. And then when the episodes come back after they're animated, we go over them. We ask for any corrections that need to be made. We do extra boards if they need to be done. We also are in with sound design and any sort of final picture edits here on our side.
Gotcha.
And then we deliver it to network. Oh, we also make the title cards.
Oh, you do? Gotcha.
Basically, if Rebecca could, she would want to do everything on this show.
Gotcha.
And she physically can't. So that's where me and Kat
come in. It's actually impossible.
We're the overflow.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome. So, like, if you guys all have done storyboard work on the show, at like, have you all been, like, credited as storyboarders on the show at some point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, you've all been storyboarders? So, like, what's it like coming from that space and then coming into your new job now? Like, what's the difference? What's shifted since then?
I think it's learning to let go of control.
Gotcha.
Still learning that one, too.
Yeah, maybe I am still learning. When you're a storyboard artist, you have the complete power.
You think you do.
Which is enough.
And that feels good.
But you have your way with the episode, basically. It's your episode, it's your baby to, you know, raise and make great. But as a director, it's your job to make sure that the episode actually gets done. To make sure that vision that the storyboard artists have is preserved and made better by you adding to it or taking away in some cases. It's all about making the episode work at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. My experience was a little different because even though I did a few storyboards, I was always the storyboard supervisor before I became the supervising director.
Gotcha.
It was hard because I felt a little bit like I cheated to get in, you know, because everyone else took a board test. So they came in and they were doing these amazing boards. I was like, wow, they have no idea that I'm not as good as this, but I just have to keep making it till I make it.
But secretly though, when you did Bubble Buddies with Aleth, that was the board where it was like, oh, okay, so we need to be boarding like that. It needs to look like that.
The baseline.
That's what it should look. I'm so honored.
Oh my gosh, you guys were all just like looking at each other when you guys started out. You were like, they're so cool. Every single person was like that.
That's exactly the way it was for a good year on the first season. It was just like, looking at what everyone did. It's
right.
Like, wow. Okay. I gotta rise to the occasion now. And
I remember feeling that. I was like, oh no, all the board artists are trying to outdo each other.
Yeah. You have to deliver. Actually, I didn't take a test either.
But you kind of did because you worked on Cat Fingers.
I did. I did like revision-ish, boarding-ish while I was working on regular show. But I also feel very sneaky on the daily.
You're like, when are they going to find out?
Yeah.
So like, do your jobs now change based on what kind of episode, like, for example, like the musical episode, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Greg, does your job change as a director or supervisor when you're doing episodes like that? Or if it's like a half hour one, like Bismuth or something, mm-hmm. does that change the way you approach it?
Our jobs only get easier or harder depending on the episode. And we're always working on five or six episodes
right.
at once. So there's just parts that are easy and parts that are hard.
It's pretty much about the same. There's just always some episodes that are more difficult than others for like unforeseen reasons. Like,
right.
Oh, this didn't really get cleaned up as much. Or, mm-hmm. There was a part of the story we didn't consider. Now we have to redo.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, it was Christmas and now we've lost weeks of work because everyone had to go home for the holidays.
It's more juggling. You're handling, you're not just working on one thing. You're working on multiple things. They, like, all need to be done.
Multiple parts of multiple things.
Yeah.
I feel that. I looked at, like, you guys, like, the schedule that you have, and it's so crazy because when people, like, when you see the finished product, you're like, okay, here's an episode. But when you guys are working on them, you're working on this part of this episode and this part of this episode. One of them is in storyboarding. One of them is in an animatic phase. And, like, it's, like, it's so much. It seems like so much all the time.
That's why we have production coordinators to help us remember everything.
Yep,
Google Calendar.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who help us, and we would be swimming. We'd be drowning. We'd be completely drowning.
I write down a lot of notes. There's a lot of notes. A lot of post-its.
Yeah, I can see that.
I feel that. So do you guys miss the, like, doing boarding?
We're still boarding all the time. I was boarding 10 minutes ago.
Oh, really?
I like not having to do a whole episode. Personally, I prefer to do a lot of little things.
Gotcha.
It's because I think when you're boarding, you're in like a very specific 2 weeks you're doing thumbnails, 2 weeks you're cleaning up, last week you're addressing things, and then you go back again. I like being kind of all over the place.
I feel like that too. Like, it's like, okay, I'm tired of this. I'm ready to do something else now. You know, like, don't want to board another 4 minutes of two characters talking to each other or something, you know?
I think I miss the linear quality of just boarding a whole episode. It's like I always start at the beginning and go to the end.
Right.
And then I start this day and I finish this day. But it's an exchange. Now I get to put my hand in more things and have an opinion. More of an opinion?
Yeah, opinion on other episodes.
Other episodes, yeah.
Right.
Yours.
Yeah, for me, it's I miss having the focus of having time to just focus on one thing. Whereas now we juggle lots and lots of things. When you're storyboarding, you're in the episode and you're just worried about the episode. You're not, you know, you might be worried about how it connects to the episodes around it, but that's more for the directors to worry about, and it's just your job to focus and get the episode done. So I miss having that time to just focus on one thing. Yeah,
it is really hard when you're in something and you feel like you're getting somewhere, and then you get pulled away because you have a post meeting.
Right.
It's like, God, do we have to do sound right now? I was so close to figuring this out.
I was feeling the jive. I was feeling the groove. Feeling the groove, you guys.
The zone. It was happening just now. There it goes. Okay, cool. Like, so one of the things I was wondering about is, you guys have sort of, you've worked on the show for a while, and you've sort of risen through the ranks and everything. So now you guys are...
Clawed my way.
Clawed to the top. Yes, oh. Yes, exactly. But you still came from that perspective of working on some point at boards. So, like, what kind of advice as directors and supervisors, what do you give to different boarders? Like, do different boarders need to work on different things? Like, I don't know.
Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, for sure.
Yeah.
I think time management is the thing that comes up a lot. And the thing that I tell everybody is, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I feel like, I feel like, you know, especially if your work habits aren't the most healthy. Mine aren't that healthy.
I hear that.
But there's a lot of procrastination followed by an insane amount of work, sometimes all-nighters. And I feel like that's the fastest way to burn yourself out. And, like, the best thing you could do is do a little bit every day just to maintain your sanity, because you absolutely will burn out if you're not careful.
What's your philosophy, Hillary?
I mean, something is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Get it down. Just put something down
on the...
You can go back and change it, but if you don't have anything there, then you got nothing to work with.
Yeah, you can't start, like, making revisions if you can't, if you don't have, like, a first draft.
Right, yeah.
Plus, a blank canvas is just paralyzing.
It is horrifying.
It's it's a blank piece of paper. It's the same.
You have something
thing.
There, you can fix it or change it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jill? You're the most pro of all of us.
You're the super pro.
What? You were boarding longer than me.
Your structure is amazing.
Well,
you still are doing the thing.
How about that structure? It's planning. Thinking about what you're going to do before you do it. You can't just... It's looking at a blank piece of paper and then suddenly just launching in and expecting things to just go great the first time. It never works out. So, like, having a plan and thinking ahead of time how you're structuring a scene and how it's going to flow into the next scene and what's going to, you know, what's the beginning, middle, and end of this section before I move on to the next section. Yeah, thinking about that, writing that all down and making a plan before you start working. It's an outline. It's the same concept you take when you write an essay or do most things. So,
you know, it's fun things, essays.
Yeah.
I love it. What do you think that you've, like, learned overall, personally, from aside from the stuff that you've already talked about, giving notes to other people, do you feel like you've learned anything personally taking away from Steven Universe?
I don't know. We're all together all the time, so maybe it's not noticeable. But I feel like I'm more patient, and I try to think a little more before I speak.
I have learned nothing. Working on this show has completely reinforced my worldview, and I will never change.
This is completely true of Joe. It sounds like a joke, but it's not.
You know what? I'm going to agree.
What's the worldview? What's the view?
I think for me, Rebecca says this a lot when there's all these ideas in the room. You know, it's there's idea A and there's idea B, but then she's looking for the third idea. And I think for me, it was always like, no, it's this idea and no other idea. But I think I've learned to be more accepting of different avenues to approach a problem.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure. I thought you were going to say Rebecca always says one thing per thing.
Oh, that's another one I've taken. That's Ian's. That's Ian's that's doctrine. One thing per thing. One tier per tier.
How do you dilute that to somebody who's never heard that before?
Yeah. So here's a common thing you see a lot in boards, where a boardist will try and combine too many actions into a shot. Each scene is about one thing. One thing happens in a scene. You know, it's one thing. You know, at its core, you want one thing to change or grow or get worse. You know. And it's the same like on a shot per shot basis. One shot is for one thing, basically, or a very simple transition to another thing. You never want to layer too many things on top of each other because your brain and your eye can only take so much in with what you're watching. So it's always, one thing per thing.
Focus on the thing that you want to communicate because everything else around it will distract from that.
Gotcha.
And to branch off of that, my learned advice is just like letting stuff go. I think just even starting boarding, the first boarding job, it was like you're doing something, you're working hard, but it needs to change. You know, maybe there's too many things in it. Maybe it's not supporting the greater theme or episode. You got to let that go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's
you're going to have another episode. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah.
You got to, kill your babies?
Yeah, kill
that's the phrase. That's your phrase. You love killing babies.
It sounds really weird to be like, I'm in the business of killing babies.
They're just going to cut this from the podcast. That sound might be too volatile.
That's not a sound clip you want in the world, but...
You can't be precious about anything.
You can't be precious.
No.
Hear that.
No.
Nothing is sacred.
You can only grow if you keep building.
There's episodes where we've cut entire chunks for the board. Serious Steven, I think I did that ending of that board at least 3 times before we settled on what it would be.
Was that the one where you're playing the ukulele and he...
It was
butterflies, I think.
There was
a frog monster in that.
Mm-hmm.
What?
There was a frog monster at the beginning of that episode.
Yep. Do you not remember?
That got cut. rightfully. You know, we don't need monsters in every single episode. And like there was a whole scene at the beginning of Jailbreak that got cut that I said, like, it wasn't working, and I said, like, take it down. And Rebecca was like, no, but I want to save. And I was like, no, take it down. It doesn't work.
I feel like that was always my thing. I'd be like, I can just get rid of it. We can get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just take it out and do it. New scene.
Right. To go back, though, what was the thing that you learned, Hillary? What have you learned
what
over
have
the past
I learned?
4 years?
Letting stuff go. Being open. Just... being a better person. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah. Open. Steven, I guess the thing is, Steven is very collaborative. It's more collaborative than any other thing that I've worked on. And understanding the dynamic of that, being compassionate, being able to voice your opinion without shutting other people down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like basic life skills that are really good.
Being succinct.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Lots of I statements.
That's a thing every artist who works in television animation, I think, has to learn is we're all artists and we all have our own personal vision that we're trying to bring to it, but it's all for this bigger thing, you know, that's always bigger than ourselves, and especially this show where the ideas
it's a bigger thing.
Are bigger than
yeah,
the show.
Yeah,
it's really big.
Yeah, it's good that Rebecca is there to be the final say in everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much.
Sure, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's episode. Thanks again to the awesome storyboard artist, revisionist, and directors of Steven Universe. It was great to talk to Hillary Florido, Joe Johnston, Kat Morris, Jeff Liu, Lamar Abrams, Maya Peterson, and Amish Kumar. Make sure to join me next Thursday as we meet the gems.
Didi Magno-Hall, who voices Pearl, Michaela Dietz, who voices Amethyst, Shelby Rabara, the voice of Peridot, and Jennifer Paz, the voice of Lapis. They're all going to join me to talk about how they got their parts and what it's been like to develop the characters. And plus, Rebecca Sugar is going to return to share the origins of the gems, what she was looking for when she was casting their voices, and the surprises she encountered during auditions. And remember, if you have any questions about Steven Universe for the Crooniverse, including show creator Rebecca Sugar, please tweet them at me at MK Atwood or at Cartoon Network's official Twitter and use the hashtag Steven Universe Podcast. We'll try to answer as many as possible. And if you haven't hit the subscribe button for the Steven Universe Podcast, you can do that at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Please be sure to leave us a review and a 5-star rating while you're there. We love getting the feedback. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I will see you next Thursday.